Well, hey guys, my name is Jenny Baker, and we are in our second week of our Christmas series called 365 Days of Christmas. And we're looking at three attributes of the season that really aren't just confined to the holidays, but are actually things that we can celebrate and experience every day in our lives. And last weekend, Chuck talked about anticipation and how for years the nation of Israel anticipated the coming of Jesus and how that anticipation led to hope and how hope is something that we can experience every day. And so this week, we're gonna talk about preparation and how we prepare for the season and how in the preparation, there are things that we can learn and receive each day. And so for me, as I thought through how I prepare for the season, I couldn't help but think about where I am spiritually during this time of year. And it's this weird place for me. It's not this way every year, but this year it's a weird place for me because I'm understanding that I'm living in this now where I'm celebrating and receiving Jesus, but yet what I'm really doing and receiving, you know, Jesus as King is I'm actually preparing for his kingdom. And so, you know, when I say kingdom, what I'm really preparing for is when God decides to send Jesus back and we're all reconciled and restored to God's original purpose for us, where we're reconciled to him and to one another and to the earth and his creation. And so there's just a weird tension that I'm existing in between the now of this year and the not yet. And it's interesting, the Bible talks about this. In Romans 8:22, Paul actually says this: "We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And so that groaning inwardly, that eagerly waiting, that's kind of that this tension in this place between the now and the not yet. And what I'm realizing during the season is that there are just some things that I want to receive. There's some things that God wants to give me in this now that will prepare me for his not yet. And so I you know, go through this whole preparing process, and I think about, for me, how I emotionally and physically prepare for Christmas, and I have to say it takes me back to my childhood. I grew up in Texas, and Texas Christmases are just a little bit different than maybe some of the Christmases that you have experienced up here. For example, Christmas lights. Did anybody put Christmas lights up this weekend or a Christmas tree? We put our Christmas tree up, and I watched our neighbors scramble on a Friday night to get their Christmas lights outside because it was going to snow the white death. And one of the things about a Texas Christmas is that we never put our Christmas lights up because we just leave them up all year round. So never take them down. It's real convenient in the summer because people come over, we plug those bad boys in, and it's, you know, outdoor lighting in the summer. So decorating is a little bit different down south. But gifts, the gifts are different also. For example, when I was 8 years old, I remember coming downstairs Christmas morning and Santa would always leave our gifts on the fireplace, and I ran down the stairs and my gift from Santa that year was my very first 410 shotgun. And I shot my first duck with that shotgun. Sad part was it wasn't powerful enough to kill it, so I had to get a 20 gauge the next year. You know, PETA people, don't worry. It wasn't merciless killings. We ate everything that we shot. You know, the gifts were a little bit different, but then there's the food. And in Texas, we don't just do the turkey and the ham and the normal Christmas dinner. Oh no, we do smoked meat. Now, I'm not talking like go to the grocery store and get JTM and stick it in the microwave and warm it up. No. I'm talking like real long smoked meat. 2 briskets, 2 slabs of ribs, and 6 smoked chickens. That was what's always on the menu Christmas Day. Now, some of you may not be familiar with how long and amazing the smoking process is, so I just thought I would give you a little glimpse. First of all, you have to start with figuring out what kind of smoker you're gonna use. Now, there are a lot of different views on this, and in my family, we prefer a double barrel side-by-side smoker. Once you decide what smoker you're gonna use, then you decide your wood chips. And these are fighting words in Texas because you got a lot of different theories on this. Because depending on what wood chips you use, it's gonna depend on the flavor of the meat. And you got cedar and you have hickory, but real people use mesquite wood chips. So we pick out our wood chips and you put your meat on. And when I say it's a long process, like think about this. When you cook a Thanksgiving turkey, the rule of thumb is 20 minutes per pound of meat. When you smoke meat, it's 2 hours per pound of meat. So it is very, very long, and you've got to make sure that your temperature in your smoker stays up the entire time. So it's not like an 8 or 9 hour process. This is like set your alarm in the middle of the night to get up and make sure the meat's still cooking process. And I'll tell you, there, you know, when my husband gets up, he sets his alarm and he'll get up and go check on the smoke, the meat. And there is nothing more hot than when my husband smokes meat. Usually during the day, I'm telling you, he'll wear a flannel shirt and boots. And then at night, he'll get up and he'll come back into bed and smell like that mesquite smoke. Nothing hotter. And so, consequently, this year for Christmas, we're celebrating the impending arrival of our baby. And you know, you want to talk about the living in this now and not yet. You know, we are 9 weeks away from being able to meet our little baby girl, and I am realizing physically what it means to live in this now and the not yet. I had my baby shower yesterday, and it was an amazing time of receiving, but it's a little weird because you're getting all of these things that you don't really need right now, but you do need them, so you get them in the now for the not yet. And so it's this just receiving these weird gifts now for the not yet. And yet when I think about that, and when I go to the doctor and I get ultrasound pictures, I get these little glimpses of what the not yet's gonna be like. I get kind of, you know, this little picture of what life in 9 weeks is gonna be like. And let's talk about preparing for a baby for a second. Because nobody really talks about this very much. A couple of months ago, some of our friends said, hey, Jenny and Franklin, y'all need to go register for baby gifts. Okay, we, you know, did this when we got married. We can handle this. So Franklin and I decide one weekend, you know, we get up early and we get dressed and we're going to go conquer this. And we end up going to hell, known as Babies R Us. You know, if you've ever been there, some of you might have been there before. And so we get there and, you know, We've been married 7 years. Like we got this stuff figured out. We've been through some tough times. Like, you know, we're pretty good. We've overcome a lot. And so we go in to Babies R Us, and I'm not kidding, by the time we left, we got divorced like 4 times. It was horrible. You know, God loved the little girl that helped us. She was just trying to be nice, and in a moment of brilliance said, hey, why don't you start in the diaper section? So, okay, we've never done this before. So we go to the diaper section, and it's not like one row. Like, it's like aisles of diapers, and I'm pretty sure they all do the same thing, but yet there's like 20 different kinds you can get. And the way that Franklin and I shop is he is one of those research shoppers, so he likes to read everything. And it's great because he just reads, and you know, I just watch him read, and then he, you know, puts it all in his head and comes out with this great spreadsheet of why we should buy what. And I just look at what's in front of me, 20 seconds, pick it, and I'm done, and we go. So it's like a 30-second process versus like a 30-minute process. So I knew when we got to the diaper section, we were in trouble when he started reading these boxes. So, you know, I check out, and I'm on my phone, on Facebook, and he's reading. And he holds up this diaper box, and he goes, hey, how about these? These look good. It says, you know, they hold up to 10 pounds. I was horrified. 10 pounds of poop, I said. I've never done this before. And he starts laughing. He goes, no, not 10 pounds of poop. That means 10 pounds of baby. Oh, okay. I was a little worried about what was getting ready to come. So once, yeah, I've never done it before. You wouldn't know that either. So once I figured out this was going to be very painful, I said, honey, we got to go. We can't do this. We need to call in somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who's had a kid before, and we need to let them do this for us. So I called my friend Mary. She's like super mom. She's got 3 kids. She's been through this. And I said, hey, Mary, I'll buy you a cup of coffee if you'll come to hell with me and help me finish this registry thing. And I said, I'll even let you hold that little gun, you know, that you shoot. So Mary said, okay, you know, absolutely. So we go back to Babies R Us, and we're back in the car seat section. And Mary says, hey, let's go look at the convertible car seats. And I stand there for a second, and I think, I said, Mary, I don't think we need to go look at those. And she said, oh yeah, they're just down here. You know, we need to go look at them. And I'm like, I drive a Camry. I don't know that I need a convertible car seat. Note to self, convertible car seat does not mean a car seat just for a convertible. Evidently, it turns around or something like that. But you know, I mean, think about it. If I drove a convertible, I would want a special car seat with roll bars and stuff on it. So I thought, you know, that's what convertible car seats were. Wouldn't you if you had a convertible? So this preparing process has been very entertaining for my family, very traumatic for me. But again, I'm realizing that there are things that I need in this now. Like, there are things that I need to prepare for her. If I don't do some of this and I don't get some of these things, then I'm not going to be ready when she gets here. And so spiritually, as we live in this tension of the now at Christmas, of receiving Jesus, we're preparing for the not yet of his kingdom coming. And so having to exist in this tension, though, it can be tough, but we have access to glimpses of the not yet. We have access to receiving some things in the now that will prepare us for the not yet. And so I just want to share with you today a couple of the glimpses that I'm learning to receive from God during this holiday season. And the first glimpse that I'm getting is I'm learning to receive my redeemed worth. And I love the Christmas story because it just shows how crazy God is and how he does things totally different. Because if you look at the Christmas story and the people that God involves, they're really a bunch of losers. And let's go through it together. You know, you got Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter, not a noble trade by any means. And now you got Joseph, who has to explain to his family and friends how his virgin fiance got knocked up and is not even his kid, which is an interesting place to be. So you got Joseph. Then you have the shepherds. And the shepherds in the Jewish culture, and even in many cultures today, were really the lowest of the low. The shepherds that you would find in the fields were typically young kids, weak people who were sick or had ailments, or the elderly, because it wasn't really a highly valued job. So, you know, you have the three shepherds who God includes in the story, who were looked at by society as the lowest of the low. Then you've got the Magi. And the Magi were these three kings. The Bible doesn't ever say there's three, just FYI. You have these Magi, they're magicians from the East. So we know that they're actually Gentiles. And that's significant because a Gentile was somebody other than a Jew. And why that is significant is because the nation of Israel and the Jews thought that they were the only people that would ever have access to God or access to salvation. And so in this story of God redeeming the world and sending his son, you see him involve the Magi who culturally were really not valued at all and were looked at as really not even human. And then you have Mary. And you know, you talk about these characters who in their culture had no worth. By societal standards, they were of no value, and yet that's exactly who God goes to and runs after to bring his redemption plan through. And it's amazing, and you know, you think about Mary, and there are a couple of things that we know about Mary, but I want to read to you a little chunk of the Christmas story where Mary gets her calling from God. And so this is a chunk. Lean back and drink your coffee. It's kind of like story time. And I'm in the Gospel of Luke. And it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this must be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. A couple of things about Mary. We know she was young. In Jewish culture, a girl would get married between ages 12 and 14, so she was young. And then obviously we know she was female, and that's significant because in the Jewish culture, women were looked at as not even human. They were looked at as property. In the Jewish court system, a woman couldn't even testify because her testimony would be invalid because, again, she was looked at as property and not human. So Mary, you know, had that going against her that she was female. But then also Mary was poor. She was a peasant. And we know that because any kind of inheritance or money that her family would have had from coming from the lineage of King David would have been totally taken away when Israel got conquered by nation after nation. So she would have had no family wealth whatsoever. So she's young and she's female and she's a peasant, certainly not anybody that by societal standards would be worthy of such a high calling as that of bearing the Son of God. And again, that's exactly who God goes after. And the crazy part about this story is that all of those people, they didn't argue. They received their worth from God without letting the worth from society get in the way. None of them said, oh no, I can't do this. Mary didn't say, oh no, you got the wrong girl. You don't know who you're working with here. No, Mary said, may it be to me as you have said. She said, yes, absolutely, God. I want to walk in the way that you see me, not the way the world views me. And that's a hard place to be, receiving that redeemed worth. And you know, for me, it's one of those things that I have struggled with, and you know those things that you struggle with and then you think you're doing really good at and then something else happens and you're like, gosh, I'm not doing as good as I thought I was doing. That is this redeemed worth for me. It's been something that over the years I have really been battling with, and I will tell you today that it's very uncomfortable for me to get up here and talk to you about being pregnant. I really tried to not get up here and talk about being pregnant. I'm not kidding. I have 5 other messages that I wrote before this one because I did not want to get up here and be labeled as the pregnant woman. I didn't. It was interesting, and I love community because their community, you know, teaches you a lot about where you are with God. And my community just couldn't understand, why are you fighting? Why are you fighting this so much? And I thought through it, and really what it is for me is I'm afraid to embrace my femininity. Because somewhere along the line in my story, I began believing that what was worthy and what was valuable in the world that I was operating in were things that were not feminine, but were more masculine, because I associated anything with being feminine as being weak. And I didn't want to be weak. And so I began to take on things like being more assertive and being more aggressive. And it served me very well when I was in the business world, because I could keep up with anybody and I could, you know, outsell and out-advise any guy. And then, you know, I could go home and be the nice, loving wife to Franklin. And nobody would have to know that there was this soft, gentle side of me. They would just see this tough exterior. And so, you know, then I got pregnant. And there's something just very feminine about being pregnant. and you can't really hide it, because, you know, then people start, you get this belly and people look at it and then they want to touch it. And that's weird. I won't touch your belly if you don't touch my belly. Just be prepared if you touch my belly. I'm going to rub yours too. So there's just something very feminine about being pregnant, and very vulnerable for me. And all of a sudden people were going to know that there was this nurturing side of me, and that the vulnerability of that scared me because I wanted to have this tough exterior. And I was thinking through, when we found out what the gender was, that was also another kind of red flag for me that something wasn't really healthy in what I was thinking about myself. We were at the doctor and we decided to do for the gender ultrasound. We decided that our friend, who is our doctor, would write it on a piece of paper. We'd put in an envelope, and then Franklin and I would go out to a nice dinner that night and open the envelope and, oh, be surprised. But let me tell you, I was convinced that it was a little boy, because I am not a girl mom. We are not a girl household. I just knew we weren't. God would not give us a little girl. He's going to give us boys because we're just a boy family. So we get the little envelope and we go to dinner, and Franklin says, hey, okay, you know, we're gonna open it together. And I said, oh no, you go ahead and open it. I know, it's a boy. So Franklin opens it and it says, girl. I cried. I did. And I'm like, why am I crying? Baker, what is the deal? You've got this healthy little girl that's coming and you're crying, and get it together. What is your problem? And what I realized, and God bless my husband, he is so much more honest and further along in his journey than I am. We, you know, get in the car and he goes, yeah, God's punishing me. And I said, what? And I said, you don't really believe that. And he goes, no, but I just know that God's going to make me grow a lot with a little girl, and I don't want to grow. So, he was way ahead of me. I wasn't even at the place where I was going to admit that yet. And there was this tension in this odd place of, what am I going to do with a little girl? And I processed through that and I thought, what am I afraid of? Why am I fearful of pink and crying and all the things that come with being a little girl? And it again got back to this idea of me not being comfortable with my worth and my value as a woman who is uniquely made by God. And when I think about the one thing that I want my little girl to know, and the one thing that I want my little girl to have more than anything is, I want her to know that she is valuable and worthy just because of who she is to me, and never because she conforms to any particular standard. I want her to know that she has inexplainable worth because she's God's daughter, not because of anything society tells her. And when I thought about that, I had to stop because I knew that it starts with me in the now. If I'm not receiving my redeemed worth from God, I can't show her how to receive hers. You know, we can't give what we haven't received. And I had to really process through and wrestle with this tension of, I'm not receiving my redeemed worth in the now. I'm still operating under what the culture says is valuable and worthy. And until I get out of that, I'm not going to be preparing for the not yet. And so I'm on this journey of learning in the midst of all of this how to receive my redeemed worth in the now to prepare for the not yet. And in doing that, I've gotten to a place where I'm thrilled to have a little girl because I absolutely believe that there are things in me that God is going to redeem through this little girl. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to receive that. But I can't do that unless I'm receiving my redeemed worth. So that's a glimpse that I'm getting of the not yet. And another glimpse that I'm learning to receive in the now is peace. When we look at Mary and Joseph and when they were visited by the angels, both separately, it's interesting, the angels always start with, "Do not be afraid." And essentially what the angels are saying to Mary and Joseph is, peace, have peace. And this was very important because when you look at the journey that they were going to go on, it was marked by a lot of pain and suffering. When Mary said yes to this calling, when Mary said yes to Jesus, Mary was actually facing death. In the Jewish culture, if you were a woman and you were found to be pregnant outside of marriage, you absolutely could be drug out into the middle of the street and stoned to death. And so when Mary said, "Yeah, may it be to me as you have said," she was saying, "And even if I die, I'm saying yes to this." And so this journey was absolutely bound to be painful for her, but also for her and Joseph together because they were facing enormous rejection and isolation from their families and their friends. You know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He ended up being born in a manger. And the odd part about that is that Joseph was from Bethlehem and would have had family there. And yet they ended up in a manger in a stable. Why? Probably because Joseph's family wouldn't have anything to do with them because Mary was pregnant and they weren't married yet. Can you imagine the rejection that they felt? And yet they were able to keep moving forward step by step and say yes in courage because they had received this supernatural peace in the very beginning of their journey. And it wasn't just a worldly peace. This was a peace that passed any kind of worldly understanding. And it gave them courage. And Jesus talks about this peace in the Gospel of John when he's talking to his disciples. He says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." What Jesus was saying in the context of this verse is that I'm going to go away and prepare the not yet for you. I'm getting ready to leave and I'm going to go prepare this place where we're going to be able to be together. And your journey down here is going to be tough, but guess what? While I'm gone, I'm going to give you access to this amazing peace, this peace that the world will never be able to understand. And this peace will be what carries you and gives you this courage to say yes, step by step, when things are really bad, you're going to have access to this peace that, unlike the world's peace is very circumstantial. It's very temporary. But this peace that Jesus is talking about, it's not temporary. And it's unconditional. And it supersedes anything that the world can ever even comprehend. And it allows us, you know, when we access this peace, when we receive this peace, it allows us to keep moving on our journey and not operate in anxiety and fear. And Jesus doesn't give a lot of commands in the New Testament. And when I say commands, I mean he doesn't say a lot of do this and don't do this. But there is one that he gives, and I am so thankful he gives this command. And it's shortly after this interaction, Jesus says, "Be anxious about nothing, but with prayer give all your requests to God, and the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart." He says, don't be anxious about anything. And I'm so thankful that he said that, because for me, there are so many moments in life of anxiety and fear. You know, right now, the baby is, she's measuring a little bit small. And if I let myself go to that really deep, dark place, it can get really bad and really fearful. And yet I have a choice in the midst of that. I have a choice to receive this amazing, deep sense of peace that will carry me and courage through this journey. And there are a lot of us that when we say yes to this journey with God and with Jesus, that face some of the same things that Mary and Joseph faced. Some of us may face rejection from our family or isolation from our friends. Some of us may have to make some really tough choices that look like breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend or ending a relationship with a partner. There are just some tough things that come with saying yes to a journey with Jesus. And yet in the midst of that, what God gives us is he says, I'm not gonna leave you to do it by yourself. He says, I'm gonna give you access to this amazing peace to guard your heart. And when you say yes to it in the now, it's gonna prepare you to receive it for eternity in the not yet. And it's going to give you courage right now to take one step after the other. So peace is the second glimpse that we receive. But then the last little glimpse of the not yet that we receive is joy. Along our journey, we have access to joy. And sometimes during this pregnancy, I get really tired. You know, yesterday morning, I was up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, probably because I have to pee every like 30 seconds. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, man, I just need to sleep. I just need to sleep. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's just God preparing you for a baby. I don't care what it is. It's annoying. So, yeah, I'm laying there, I'm thinking, man, I'm tired. I got a lot to do. I just need rest. And in that moment, it was great. Baby girl got the hiccups. And then she started kicking, and I could, you know, see her little foot kind of move out in my stomach, and any kind of weariness that I had was totally wiped away and replaced with this thrill, this joy that gave me strength. And you know, in our spiritual journeys, as we move along, sometimes there are times where we're tired and where we get weary of the journey, and yet the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And like peace, we have access to this glimpse of amazing, amazing joy. And these glimpses look like, with Angel Tree, 2,000 kids getting gifts who otherwise wouldn't because their parents are incarcerated. And let me tell you what, you want to experience joy? You want to know what it looks like and feels like? Go deliver those Angel Tree gifts, because there is nothing better than when you walk into the house of one of these little kids and you give them these gifts on behalf of their parents. And these kids aren't expecting anything this Christmas. And they get these gifts and they get to open them. Do you know what their faces look like? And that's a picture of joy. And it fuels my joy. And you can't help but have joy when you're around joy, because it's contagious. And in those moments, that's like a little picture that God gives me, that gives me strength to move on in my journey. And joy looks like, in our community, people during this time of year rallying around a single mom who doesn't have access to heat in her home or food and can't afford food. It looks like our community coming around and providing for her. That's joy, and it fuels my joy. Or 250,000 people getting meals from Thanksgiving food drive. Those are just little pictures that make this journey joyful. And then I want more of that. And I want to look for that and I want to hold on to that. Because there are moments where it's not joyful. And there are moments where I get tired. And in those moments, I can remember those little glimpses of joy, and it gives me strength to keep going. You know, Mary knew this. In Luke, 8 days after Jesus was born, it says Mary, you know, kind of watched him for these 8 days, and the shepherds had come to visit. And it says Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. Mary treasured what she saw. She took these like little heart mental pictures of, you know, even just the first 8 days of Jesus's life, and she treasured them in her heart, because I believe deep down Mary knew that this journey was going to be tough, and that she needed the strength to get through it. And that fueled her, and that allowed her to keep moving in the now until she got to the not yet. And when I think about, you know, when I receive these glimpses of joy and peace and my redeemed worth, and I begin to operate in those during the day, what I really understand is deep down there is a longing in me. And I believe deep down in all of us there is a longing. And what that longing for is really for the not yet. It's for God's kingdom to come. It's for heaven. And I realize that, you know, when I say heaven, that some of you may think that that's like me saying I believe in unicorns and leprechauns. And one of the things I love about Crossroads is that, you know what, we don't care where you are spiritually. We care. We don't assume that you're anywhere. You don't have to be in any particular place. We're glad you're here. But for me, I absolutely do believe that there is a kingdom of God that's coming, and that another word for that is heaven. And what that's going to look like? Do you know what that's going to look like? That's going to look like amazing, complete relationship with God, where everything is restored. Because we, in this tension that we're living in, part of this tension is that the world is broken, that there are just some things in this world that aren't as God intended them to be. And so when he comes and his kingdom comes, those things are going to be made right. And how that's going to look and what that's going to be like is that forever we will be operating in our redeemed worth. We will never, ever, ever question our value and how much God loves us. We will always exist in that. And then in God's presence, there's going to be eternal peace. I will never have to fight anxiety or fear ever, ever again. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how great it would be to always be existing in this amazing sense of peace? And in God's presence, there is joy, where it won't just be little glimpses that we get, but it will be joy for eternity, and our joy will be made complete. That is what I long for. And Paul talks about this when he writes a letter to the church in Corinth. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even begin to fathom what the not yet is like and how amazing it's going to be. And that's what I long for. And when I think about that, I can't help but think about the nation of Israel and how God had prepared them for years to receive Jesus. And God had given them little glimpses along the way. He had given them celebrations and illustrations, and actually had written it out in the book of Isaiah what Jesus was going to look like and how he was going to come in and how they would recognize him. And so God just really prepared for years his people, and then Jesus broke into the world and they missed him. A lot of them missed him. And it was because they had gone from a posture of receiving the little glimpses to a posture of rebellion, where they were missing those little glimpses throughout the day. And so that when Jesus came, they weren't receiving, and so they missed him. And I know that I want those little glimpses every day, because I know that there's an amazing, amazing kingdom and the not yet that I long for. And so I want to be this season in a posture of receiving those little glimpses, so that when the not yet comes, I don't miss it. I get it. And that's my prayer for all of us this season, is that every day, not just today or on Christmas Day, but that every day we would be aware of the little pieces of the not yet that God gives us to receive to prepare us for the not yet. And so my challenge for us is this week. I have a challenge for us. My challenge is this, that we think through how we're preparing our hearts to receive. Where are we getting our redeemed worth? Or just our worth? Where is that coming from? How are we receiving peace? And where are we receiving joy? Because the answers to those questions will tell us what we're preparing for. And again, I want the not yet. And I don't want to miss it, and I don't want you guys to either. So let me pray for us. Hey God, I'm just thankful that you delight in us. God, that you don't ask anything special from us. God, you just want a relationship. And you make yourself available in so many ways. And God, you give to us along this journey. God, you are a good father, and you give good gifts. And I know those gifts, Father, look like worth and peace and joy. And so, God, today we just say, yeah, we want that. We may not even know what that looks like, God. Like, we may not even know exactly how we get that. But, God, we just say we want that. So show us today in the little moments these glimpses of what you have in store for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.